Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Wrestling to the Max. SmackDown. Review.
Hello and welcome to WrestleMax SmackDown Live Review for October 25th, 2016. I am the host of the shindig, Sean Garman, with me here. Well, it's not Paul Leeser because he is at a Dallas Stars game right now, or coming back from it, whichever one is actually happening at this point. But hey, at least Gary is here with me, so... Still the W2M crew. I'm not by my lonesome or anything.
Exactly. See, it's nice not to be alone at times. You get a chance to feel like, you know, you're loved. And I like to feel loved. I hope you do tonight. So we're all in good company, right?
Yeah. It is nice to be able to go back to the old school. Remember when we just review SmackDown?
Yeah, back in the day. I mean, it was kind of a different format. It was, you know, a lot more amateurish. I mean, we're still kind of, I guess, amateurs in a way, but it was very different than what we do now. So I do enjoy kind of going back to the old days sometimes. It's kind of fun, you know. So we'll see. You know, tonight maybe we'll get, you know, some of those and stammer a little bit here and there. Maybe we'll get that done.
Oh, man, I really need to go back and listen to those sometime just to see how far we have progressed. It is nice to know that we have been able to grow and get better at this thing in the 4 years we've been doing this now. So SmackDown was live from Green Bay, Wisconsin, in the Rest Center. As Raw was preparing for Hell in a Cell, SmackDown was just having another SmackDown because they don't have another big show until election night when they are in out of the country in Glasgow, Scotland. At least they're hyping up the women's title match. They really aren't seemingly hyping up anything else for that show, which I guess is okay. At least the women will get a spotlight, which that's kind of cool. But, you know, this show, actually, now I'm... It started off with Bray Wyatt, of all people, because, you know, they just really know how to maybe put you to sleep from the start. And they couldn't do it any faster than having Kane come out and be Bray Wyatt's opponent. Bray Wyatt and Kane proceed to have, you know, a good match. I mean, it's Bray Wyatt and Kane. I mean... How much are we really expecting here? The whole point of this really is that at one point Luke Harper gets involved because Kane's about to put him through the table. And then Luke Harper kind of stays around outside. And then right when Luke Harper's about to get involved again, you have Randy Orton show up. And okay, well, Randy Orton, Kane, they've been friends for a little bit. I mean, they've been enemies before, so it's you know, not anything too crazy to see what happened after this, which is Randy Orton RKOing Kane. Like, what the hell, Randy Orton? You just, that dude is a snake. Just that total snake.
It's Nikki's Nikki snake, right? Yeah, no, it is kind of interesting. I like this dynamic that they've kind of added to the storyline because of the fact that I think if you would have kept it the same way, it gets boring. We already were not a big fan of what they were doing with it. I like this because it does give you more questions. It's not, oh, I figured that out. No, you actually sit here and you say, okay, so is Randy Orton doing this to play games with, you know, the Wyatt family, or does he legitimately think, I need to join up with these guys? These guys are on my same wavelength of being a sick individual in the head. It brings up those questions, you know, and many more that I'm even starting to talk about right now. So I think that's what's interesting about this. And to me, it's a lot better than we would just get normally. And that's repeating the same storyline, just trying to add a few more little bitty things. This is better. And I think at the end of the day, it's going to be Randy Orton sneaking his way into being friends with the Wyatt family, then turning his back on them very quickly.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I think that's what it is. It's sort of like the Daniel Bryan thing, if the crowd had not revolted against it. And we know, we've seen this kind of Randy Orton do something like this before, and he's kind of bad about like giving you that wink, wink, nudge, nudge, and not really... You guys know I'm not really going to be on this team, right? Like, you know, just letting you know I'm waiting for that because you kind of know what's coming, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like you said, even though it is that, and I totally agree, it's nice at least it's not just him saying, oh, I'm going to find a way to beat you, you know, Wyatt, you know, blah, 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 blah. At least it's something that, you know, maybe they do change it up. Maybe they don't. I don't know. I doubt it. But at least it's something different. And I like different sometimes.
Yeah. And then, you know, the thing is, too, this is kind of weird because Luke Harper could have just made this a 2-on-1 match at this point. And he didn't. He just kind of kept... He kind of backed off. I didn't see a part where Bray kind of told him to back off. But maybe he felt, okay, well, Bray should be able to take him from here. And he didn't. So, but, I mean, this continues again throughout the night where Randy Orton says, well, if you can't beat him, join him. So, again, he teases that he's going to join the Wyatt family here. We'll have to see if this goes very far before they decide to go against this because, again, this is something we've seen WWE kind of go in one direction sometimes with Bray Wyatt and then, oh... Wait, we're going to change gears all of a sudden. So Hopefully they do a good job of trying to sell us on this. Just I'm not that excited with how they've done this feud already.
It's not been great. I mean, let's be honest. And, you know, they haven't really treated Bray Wyatt the best. I mean, they've made him beatable. They've made him less spooky. And they've made him more corny. And then they kind of reverted back to being a little bit more serious with him, you know, just a little bit, not a whole lot, but a little bit. And so what we're getting now is hopefully going to be something where they can take it more serious and find a new path. And I don't know what that's going to be. I'm just a little bit optimistic, I think, and that's probably a bad idea on my part because I shouldn't be, especially with the history, like you said. So we will see. I'm going to be optimistic right now. I'm going to hope that Randy Orton actually has a better role in this than what we've seen in the past.
Exactly. You know, that's the thing. We'll have to see what they do with Randy Orton and if he actually can sell us on, hey, he might actually join the Wyatts, but it's hard when you know the ending before they even start the story, right? It's like, okay, yeah. Well, we already know the end of the book. Why am I going to go along with this story? So, getting away from this storyline, the other storyline that was kind of poignant throughout this show was, of course, the AJ Styles, Dean Ambrose, James Ellsworth, of course, causing AJ Styles to lose not once, but twice. And Dean Ambrose, of course, he's backstage and he's approached by James Ellsworth, and they have this back and forth, whatever. Like, Dean Ambrose, I love Ambrose. Like, Ellsworth is like, man, nobody would believe that I could beat the WWE champion. He's like, no, no one. No one would have believed it ever. Like, just total, you know, Dean being Dean. And then James Ellsworth is like, hey, can I be out there for your match tonight? And Ambrose is like trying to do everything he possibly can to get him to understand that, no, I don't want you to be there without saying no. It's like that person that, you know, you ask if you can go to the party and you're kind of like, well, I mean, I guess, but, like, don't you want to do something else? Or it's going to be boring. Are you sure you want to go? Like, you know, doing that number.
Yeah, exactly. Didn't want to really hurt his feelings, but just trying to avoid him. And, you know, that makes sense, you know, why? Because, you know, really, honestly, Ambrose doesn't need him. Ambrose was using him. He wasn't really, you know, needing him per se. And it really, I don't think, was meant to be a friendship. It was meant to, hey, I just need your help here so I can get over what I need to get over. So I do like that. I like the way that they kind of portrayed this. And at the end of the day, you know, way Ellsworth made him feel bad and finally Ambrose agrees. You saw the writing on the wall. You just did. But that's fine. It's still funny. You still get a kick out of Ellsworth. I mean, my God, that picture on his shirt just is everything about who he is right now. It's just so goofy. But still, I'm enjoying him. I think a lot of other people are. The sales of the t-shirts are proving that. And, you know, it's going to be really fun to see what they do with this coming after this, especially with the ending of the main event.
Yeah, certainly. This is going to be... They've done this really well because, obviously, you know, they had Ambrose and AJ have matches before. So it's kind of, it's sometimes you wonder, oh, is it going to be hard to make you care about these guys again after AJ already beat him? And, you know, but this being SmackDown and them obviously having directions for these guys and knowing how you want them booked and everything, this is, it's great because they have found a way to make this compelling, and they found a way to make you care about AJ and make you care about James Ellsworth and make you care about Dean Ambrose going against AJ again. So I feel like it's a win for all of this. And the funny thing is that of all the times that, you know, James Ellsworth wins and beats AJ Styles, he accidentally causes AJ Styles to win in the main event after they have this really good match here. You have James Ellsworth come in and try the super kick. He super kicks AJ Styles, and the referee sees it, and he calls for the DQ because he got hit by another wrestler.
Oh, man. Yeah, I like that. I like the fact that just the way they did it overall, because you not only, you know, feel good for the kid, you know, he gets a chance to get his, you know, finally gets to put out AJ Styles, but at the end of the day, they did a good job also with the referee, how the referee kind of delayed the call. I love that too. That was just something that they added that was not a big deal, but to me, it was that whole thought process of, hey, you know, what's going to happen? Well, the referee didn't call the bell yet, so they may let this continue. And the debate, then ding, 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 you know, of course, DQ. So I kind of like that. They made you kind of wait on it, and it felt better than them just ringing the bell. Same old same. We've seen this 100 times, which we have. But just that little pause before the referee rings the bell makes you feel better about it. And not only that, you know, James Ellsworth, he's just a goofy guy, but you gotta love him. And, you know, I love him on Talking Smack, too. If anyone's seen that, he did a great job on Talking Smack trying to, you know, basically let his feelings be known. But I mean, he just kind of demeaned himself and all that. So you really get a good picture of what he's going through. So overall, this is something that we've seen before, but I really like this. I like the story. I like that James Ellsworth is a part of this because, let's be honest, it's great in-ring, but outside the ring, AJ Styles, Dean Ambrose on the mic is not so exciting. I like what they do in the ring. It is exciting. Adding James Ellsworth is a dynamic that they kind of needed, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, I agree. And that's the thing is, I love the fact that also it wasn't like it was AJ getting to go in there and getting to just, oh, I'm beating up James Ellsworth because he's cost me matches and everything. And then James Ellsworth just says, well, heck, I'm tired of him beating me up while he's out here wrestling. I'm going to get myself. I'm going to get back at him for that. And so, yeah, he just does, and that's what costs him the match. And that's what's good about it. It's not like, oh, James Ellsworth turned on Ambrose. And so stuff that's been going on the show, and at least for them, it's been they've just been consistent with it. They have the Becky Lynch. You have two women's segments on the show. You have Natalya going to the backstage and tell Daniel Bryan that, hey, I know that we're having the Survivor Series women's match and that Sasha and Charlotte are having that Hell in a Cell on Sunday, but hey, let's make this about SmackDown. Maybe we should have me have a match against Nikki. And so Daniel Bryan says, okay, well, whoever wins becomes the captain. But whoever loses, you're not on the SmackDown team. That seems fair, right? And so you have Natalya against Nikki. I thought this was actually good for what it was. It didn't go overly long. But you have some good wrestling here. You have Natalya trying to get the sharpshooter in. She can't do it. Natalya basically is trying to do a bunch of submissions and stuff. And then she got it. Nikki got to the ropes. And then Natalya got an awesome freaking surfboard in there. But Nikki actually was able to get her back down using her legs and used her. And it was able to reverse it into a freaking STF taken from her boyfriend, John Cena. And then Carmella beats her up again, as you'd expect.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. It's just like you would expect. And, you know, I do appreciate the fact that they are, you know, trying to make a storyline in Natalya because really, honestly, they didn't really have to. There's really nothing that they could have just went about this a different way. I do think it's kind of cool, though, because of the fact that, if you do follow what really goes on backstage, you know, Natalya is a leader. She's been around wrestling for a long time. And so saying that, you know, having her say, I want to be the leader of the SmackDown women's team. I want to do this. I want to be the one that, you know, kind of guides all these younger ladies and kind of helps. And she's not doing it in a heelish way, but, you know, you kind of get the fact that, you know, she just wants to be in charge. That's just the bottom line. She wants to be in charge. And, you know, the way Daniel Bryan handled this, it's kind of cliche, you know. Okay, in a match, we'll decide they're a match. That's fine, but as soon as you heard Nikki Bella's name, you should just wrote it down in your book that Natalya doesn't win, and that's okay. But it kind of makes me sad, and I know a lot of people will say, "Well, this has to happen," and I agree, it has to. It makes sense. It's not about sense for me. For my personal opinion, it's about the fact that I think I'd be more invested and involved if you had Natalya win that match. She's in charge of the Women's SmackDown team, and then she treats everybody like crap on her team. And they have to win a match against Raw with a leader they don't even like. I think that's kind of a fun dynamic compared to Nikki Bella just like, okay, girls, you know, let's do this thing. John's going to help us. You know? So,
could you?
I don't know.
I could totally see John Cena. They just go to a party, and it's an exclusive impromptu for Total Bellas. This is on there. No, I agree with you. I think, you know, having Natalya have a role, and even if it makes her look bad and it's corny or whatever, it's still something. It's something that makes you care about Natalya. Like, it's just, okay, you know, I agree with you. She's been the one I thought maybe would get a lot more out of being on SmackDown, and she's kind of been forgotten in all this. I applaud them for wanting to give the other women some time. I give them a lot of credit for, okay, you're giving time to Carmella, you're giving time to Alexa, you're trying to build them up. I get that Natalya's established with her, but we have to remember, too, that just she, you know, she still never really got over. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's never truly been able to get anywhere. She's just been Natalya, and she's kind of been there. And it kind of sucks, you know. But on the other hand, what you've been doing with the ones coming up, it's kind of hard to argue against that.
Yeah, it is. And like I said, I totally understand where they're coming from on this. I just don't really care now. It's sad to say, and it's nothing bad about Nikki. You know, I do kind of think it's silly and all, but it's the John Cena effect with Nikki Bella. That's what, you know, of course, turns me off on this. But at the end of the day, I get where they're going, so I'm not going to complain too much. I just could see a great storyline if you did have Natalya run things, be a butt to everybody. Everyone hates her, but yet they have to respect her because she's the only way that they're going to win against Raw. So,
yeah, I mean, I'd imagine that they're still going to have Natalya involved. I could totally see them do the tag match next week with, I guess, Naomi. Her and Nikki and Naomi against Natalya and Carmella, just to kind of keep Natalya involved until you get to the pay-per-view where she's not involved. Or maybe Natalya just kind of keeps forcing her way in and she gets in there anyway. I can see that. Just to have the dynamic of having women that don't like each other, even though I also see that Carmella winds up being on the team for SmackDown against Nikki, just to add more heat to that dynamic, and that makes sense too. It's going to be interesting, but what I liked about this too is that along with another match, the Hype Bros against the Ascension, which that one didn't last very long, and I thought it was decent for what it was, you get whoever wins gets to be part of the tag team Survivor Series match, so it makes these matches matter instead of just, oh, here's random dudes wrestling. They're wrestling for something, and it means so much more when you're wrestling for something, even if it is just a Survivor Series team spot.
Yeah, it does, and that's what your, you know, whole goal is, right? Is to do, you know, to get to a successful point, no matter what it is. It's a title, it's a number one contendership, things like that. So I totally agree with you. That's what makes it special. That's what makes it important. And that's also what kind of drives viewers, you know, sitting there and rooting for their favorite guy to make that, you know, certain goal. Otherwise, you know, you're just having matches, which are fine, but, you know, you like to have that incentive.
Yeah, certainly. I don't know if... I don't think the other match was... Oh, it's a tag team title match. Never mind. So, yeah, that's your two Survivor Series sort of matches for now. So, you know who's been added. The tag team champions are one of the teams because they're the champs. So, you'd assume that New Day will be on the other side on Raw. And then, you know, the Hype Bros are in this for right now. So, that's good. You know, some teams, and then also on the women's side, you know, Nikki Bella's on there, as you expect that she was going to be. And then if they don't, it's seemingly they're not going to have the women's title defended at Survivor Series, so I'd assume Becky Lynch and Alexa will probably be on the team as well. So there's that set. And then we move on to that tag team title match. Before we get to that, there was a Miz coming out with Maurice and Kenny and Mikey of the Spirit Squad. And I love the fact that Miz is saying that it's dark times without the IC title. 16 days Oh my God, 16 days without the IC title. And, you know, he is a legend. And he starts talking about how Pat Patterson is crying over the fact that Dolph Ziggler is champion. Oh man, this is just great. And then Ziggler comes out and Miz like hides behind Maryse. And, you know, Slater says, hey, wait, champions don't run from challenges. And then you get to, this is where Miz reminds him that, hey, Kenny pinned you guys, so you should get a tag title match. And Slater's like, well, hey, I bought some stocks in Puerto Rico, you know. So,
you know where that's going.
Right. Hey, maybe he takes a double wide out there. If it can float.
Yeah, hey. You know, that's the question. Can it float? Oh man!
But you also have the tag team title match, which, hey, you know, you get Slater doing the whole face in peril, and you get Rhino coming in and whooping some guys, and I love it. This is great.
Yeah, this is great, and you know, I'll say this. You know, there's three people that really that did a great job on the mic. One of them, it's always Miz. Miz just, it's Miz. He does a great job, but so I don't need to talk about him. The other one I thought had to be Alexa Bliss, which we'll talk about pretty soon here. And then, of course, I really thought that, you know, you had a guy like Heath Slater who's hilarious. He just makes all these different things that he says just funnier than they probably should be. So I really appreciate that. Saying about the match itself, it's worth. I mean, you get what you need to get out of it. You know, basically the Spirit Squad kind of screws up and Miz gets knocked down. That leads to Rhino getting the spear 1, 2, 3. And guess what? Heath Slater and, you know, Rhino look great in this whole thing. And so it's fun. It's nice. And, you know, I loved it.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't anything out of this world, whatever, but it was. These guys are just so much fun to watch, and it's crazy how much the crowd's into them. It's still amazing because it's like, we're talking about Heath Slater here, and the crowd just loves him. And, you know, again, one of those wins for SmackDown that they were able to go with something, and it worked out for them, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? I mean, it's not that that couldn't happen all Raw, but to me, SmackDown is the perfect place for this, and they just do a good job of letting them kind of be themselves. I mean, really, they're not forced to go too long. They're not being forced to do certain things. It just seems like they're very comfortable. They're happy with what they're doing, and, you know, that's what makes it good. So I'm thrilled about this right now. I love this tag team. I'll be sad when they finally do decide they're going to split up Heath Slater and Rhino because I'm just loving them.
I hope they split up because Rhino has to go be in office, and they just have an amicable split or whatever. That's nice to see sometimes. You don't always have to, oh, my God, he turned on him.
Yeah, exactly. That doesn't always have to be the case. So I agree with you totally. I hope that is what's going on here. I hope it doesn't turn out to be something else where they want them to be enemies. I totally hope that doesn't happen.
Totally agree. And that is going to do it for SmackDown on this fine evening.
Well,
I thought this was a good SmackDown.
I thought it was two. A 7?
Yeah.
Okay, okay. Well, I'm going to let you give your explanation, then I'll get into something I really wanted to talk about.
All right. It was really good. All the matches mattered. That helps when you're looking at a 2-hour show. They were building again to that Glasgow show with Becky and Alexa, which I forgot to talk about. With that, I thought both of them played their roles really well in that segment. Just Becky getting to be Becky and kind of refuting Alexa, and Alexa getting to be, you know, hey, I deserve that title. I'm going to beat you. I'm going to beat you. And she didn't even know the first thing about holding it or anything like that. So, I haven't gotten, did you get to watch Talking Smack? Because I did not.
Yes, I did, and then I'll get into that as well. You know, I totally agree with you on Alexa Bliss, and of course, what we got going on with the that situation. I think that, you know, you had both her and Becky Lynch do a good job. They both kind of, you know, really honestly, just kind of are the best at the, on the mic in this division, at least on this show, SmackDown. And I just thought, man, really impressive, especially with Alexa Bliss. You know, still a young star, and yet come out very confident, puts her point across, and you actually kind of feel what she's talking about. You know, it kind of emotes, you know, her displeasure, all the things that she needs to get across. I think she does a great job of getting them across, and no one looks at her and says, oh, that's hokey, or, man, that sure does sound scripted. I really never get that feel. I honestly just don't get that feel from her. So I think it's a great job on her part, and costumes and all that are great. So I think, you know, at the end of the day, it was a good segment. It wasn't, you know, really based on anything but, you know, just them continuing this feud and to try to get more heat on it, which I think they did a good job. So and, I was very
nobody
happy
else can pull orange on nobody else can pull off orange on orange except for Becky.
Yeah. Ain't that the truth? And you know, good props to the NWO there tonight. I like that too. So.
Yeah, the yellow streak. Loved it. I mean, it's good too, because it's like she says it in the promo and then she does it. So it gives it
meaning. Exactly. See, now that, you know, you've got, you know, Goldberg coming, now everybody's going to start doing WCW gimmicks. I love it. it's going to be nice. I wish they'd bring Halloween Havoc back. That would have been something I would have enjoyed.
Oh, come on, man. That's so dumb not to have Halloween Havoc. Just screw Hell in a Cell. Just. Let's have Halloween.
Yeah, exactly. It was awesome. Maybe one day we'll get lucky and I'll bring it back. Before we get out of here, I'll give you my I'll go ahead and give you my score. I think you're right, Sean. This is a 7. I think most of this mattered. It was good. I didn't come out of watching SmackDown saying, oh, I hated a lot of things. I didn't love a lot of things. There was really not a whole lot just to love. So to me, that is a 7. That's a good show that you're happy you can walk away with it without complaining too much. So that's kind of the way I felt about it. We kind of got into a lot of the show. Now, talking smack, I think another good talking smack. I think when you get a chance to watch it, you'll enjoy it. They had Kane on. Kane's Kane, of course. He kind of stumbles on his words a little bit. That's what's fun about being live. I love that. You kind of get the human side of, you know, Glenn Jacobs there. Yeah. But at the end of the day, he did a great job, kind of explained his feelings and, you know, like always, mentions his, you know, time with Daniel Bryan, mentions his bro. So I enjoyed that. They had the best part for me was Heath Slater and Rhino. That was awesome. I mean, this is great because they talk more about those stocks in Puerto Rico. Daniel Bryan basically explains that they're fake. And, you know, Heath Slater spent $500 on those. So it's hilarious. And, of course, they ask Rhino, you know, if, you know, they're going to be the lead. Basically, Renee Young was saying, you're going to be the leaders of the tag team division for SmackDown and Survivor Series. You know, what are you going to do to get, you know, be a great leader and to motivate your teams? And basically he says, well, plenty of cheese whiz and crackers. So that is a platform I think we can all stand upon and be very happy. So, but anyway, that was a good part. You'll definitely enjoy that, Sean. And then, of course, yeah, I already kind of mentioned a little bit where James Ellsworth was on the end of it and kind of let his feelings be known. So it was a solid talking smack. I really thought it was, you know, something that, you know, is needed, not needed to be watched, but it's something that you kind of want to watch. It's actually kind of very entertaining. So good stuff out of that.
Yeah, certainly. So anything want to mention before we get out of here?
No, I think, you know, we pretty much covered all our bases, so I think we're set. You know, I just hope everybody comes and checks out our Thursday show, which is going to be Halloween-centric, since really, you know, we'll have the Monday show, of course, but I think a lot of people will listen to the download, and they're going to be on November 1st, not wanting to hear a lot of Halloween.
Well, after you get through that, I mean, you kind of have the other more Halloween on that Monday show, but it, technically for some people, it's still going to be that 31st that may be listening or whatever. But yeah, you know, we'll be, of course, previewing Hell in a Cell. will be we'll have to preview the other New Japan show that has the second round of the Super Junior tournament, Super Junior Tag Tournament, and because that's happening on Sunday, and then we'll be also talking about TNA, and then there's more. They've now uncovered the files, the lawsuit that Billy Corgan was going to sue Dixie with, or that he's still suing Dixie with, and some of the language is not very pretty at all. So let's think about that. You know, it's just I feel so bad for just this thing with TNA just never ends. I don't know if it's like the gift that keeps on giving or what it is, but you know. Other than that, yeah, you got Lucha Underground and you got NXT as well, and of course, you know. So, yeah, that's gonna do it here for us discussing SmackDown. Hope you enjoyed it and listen to the Thursday show. Listen to the Monday show. We talked about that Flow Sports deal and everything else. Plenty to sink your teeth into in there as well. So, until we see you next time, everybody. Gary, do you want to do the ending? I don't know. Paul's not here, so.
I don't know. I didn't know if our rule was we don't do it unless all three of us are here.
Okay. So, well, people, enjoy your Wednesday.
Peace.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.